Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and good morning. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We have some special guests today. We're going to talk with the Vision Impact Center in Washington, D.C., the church there, pastored by Pastor Willie and Ebony State. And we're going to talk to them about their ministry and their vision and what they're doing down there in the D.C. area. We encourage you to call in if you're listening online at 646-668-2636. And you can join the conversation, or you always can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and join us there. Amen. So I'm going to start with scripture and prayer, and then we're going to get right into the interview with our pastors. Amen. I'm going to be reading this more today from Psalms 33. And the Word of God says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is commonly for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with psalteries and instruments of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judges the earth. His judgment, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth upon the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he has spoken, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He madeth the device of people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed are the nations whom God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. For the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of any hosts. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help, our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because he hath trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee." Father, today we say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for speaking life into us, O God. Father, we thank you, God, for your redeeming power, God. We thank you for salvation today, O God. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, O God, who paid the full debt of sin, O God, for our lives and for our souls, O God. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for reconciliation. Father, we ask that you continue, O God, to bless us and touch us. Bless our families, God. Bless those in the body of Christ and the kingdom, O God. Those who believe, Lord God. And Father, today, God, we bring you to remembrance and your throne of grace, those believers, O God, who are under persecution all over this world today, O God, who just for the name of Jesus Christ, O God, they are suffering and being killed. So, God, we ask that you comfort them, keep them, O God, in your tender mercy, strengthen them, O God, that they be able to continue to stand, O God, to represent you in this earth. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen, amen. Well, today we have two guests this morning. Good morning, Pastor Willie, Pastor Ebony. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Amen. There you go. I hear you.
Yes, we're doing well. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Okay, here we go. Yes, we're live. We're live. We're live radio. Amen. I can hear you.
Great.
Amen, amen. But first, let me thank you for joining us today. And sharing what's going on there at the Vision Impact Center, and I know we've known each other a couple of years here. We originally both I'm still, but you came out of City of Hope under Bishop Joseph McCargo, So we want to give him honor also. And let's start with you, Pastor Willie. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you and your wife, and what you're doing down there in D.C., who you are.
First of all, thank you, Deacon Thomas, for having us on this radio show this morning. I'm really excited to share the word of the Lord and what we are doing with Vision Impact Center. Me and my wife, Pastor Ebony Spate, we started as a church July 4th of last year, of 2015. We launched out as a church. Prior to that, we were hosting Bible studies for a couple of months. But the vision for Impact Center is to be the convergence of where kingdom and community converge, where kingdom and community converge together, and where kingdom make a visible impact on community. So the way we are doing it is that we are going around to where some of the homeless parks are, where the homeless communities are, and we go serve the homeless community, whether we serve them with food or toiletries, and we serve them with the word of God ultimately, and that's our ultimate goal, is to ensure that that their place in heaven is secure, and that their place in kingdom is there. So that's a big part of our outreach goal. We have a really large in-reach plan also to really draw in the millennial audience to impact them with kingdom also, and so they can learn how to live the kingdom life and to be as effective in their communities as they are anyplace else.
Amen, amen. Well, Pastor Ebony, let me ask you this. How long have you been married to this man, and how many children do you have?
We've been married. It'll be 16 years this December, and we have two children, ages 12 and 11, two boys.
Amen. So you got like a full family, two boys. That's good.
Yes,
so
two boys, yes.
So at home, you're outnumbered. So it's three of them and one of you. Okay, cool.
Yes, and I love it that way.
Well, that's good, because them two brothers, when they get bigger, that means, you know, you got more people driving around, got guys around do heavy lifting. It'll work out
yes.
down the years to come. Amen, amen. Well, let's start with, let's talk a little bit more about the Vision Impact Center. And some of the things, I know you're in the philosophy of your church and what you're doing down there, because I've seen it on Facebook and some of the things, the outreaches and feeding the homeless, and again, those millennials. Let me ask you this, because I'm a guy, you know, I have some listeners, they may not understand. When we talk about the millennials, what are we talking about? Those who were born in, what, the 90s or the 2000s? What group is that exactly, that demographic?
That demographic is usually 35 and under, whether they're working professionals or college students, somewhere in that range. Also, we have teenagers, and you know, we have kids too. Even though our kids are probably out of the millennial kind of generation, however, you know, because we do have we have young children, almost teenagers now. One is actually a teenager. Because we service them, we service their age range too. So we direct a lot of our activities towards them, and also, you know, and they are really a big part of our reach out, outreach, making sure that, you know, that they know what it is to serve and not only to receive.
Amen, amen. Well, Pastor Ebony, let me ask you this question: what is the role of the church in our communities? What do you see as the role of the church in local communities?
Yes, I think that, you know, first thing I share is that Jesus, he introduced kingdom to people. And when Jesus left, the apostles continued in introducing the kingdom of God to people. So we really believe that it is our responsibility to share the gospel with people outside of the four walls that transforms every aspect of a person's life. So we believe that the church is called to make a difference in the life of their local community, make disciples, but also meet the physical and spiritual needs of those in the community. The church is called, as we learn in the Bible, to be a father to those who are fatherless and a defender of widows, to help children who are in need. So we really believe that our role is to make disciples, but also to defend those who need defense, those who have been oppressed by the systems of the world. So we really, at Vision Impact Center, believe that that is our role, but that is also the church's role, not just to have church, but to be the church.
Amen, amen. You know, I appreciate that as I hear you speak. You know, it you're right. We have to be able to engage. That's just the word I look at. I'm an older guy, but you know, it's I think you're right that the church we should be able to impact. I know in days past, I hear stories because I wasn't raised in the church, so I don't have no actual historical connection. But there were times that the church really had an impact in the community and in the culture, that the church was a safe haven. And I think if we look around sometimes, we forget that part. And with all of the social ills that are going on, that the church, we need to step up. And it's something you said that caught my attention when you said getting outside the four walls. And I think that is, important. And sometimes I think some churches struggle with it and what it looks like. You know, but again, I mean, through prayer and through following and watching and connecting with others to change our whole mindset, I think what it is also is a shift in thinking, a shift in purpose, that we have to definitely get back into the communities and minister to those who don't believe what we believe. And then, you know, one of the things I share a lot is we assume folk know the gospel. And unless we get out there and share that pure, unadulterated gospel of Christ and why he died and why he came, there's a lot of folk who walk around who just don't know. And I think that's one of the many things that we have to be able to do to reach them. Amen. But Pastor Willie, let me ask you this. How has the church lost its impact within the community? Because we know where we at in some place that we lose it because we don't seem relevant. So what do you think? Has the church really lost its impact, or we're there, or is it underground? Are we underground church? Or what do you think, sir?
Has the church lost its impact? I don't believe. I'll say this. Let me say it like this. I don't believe that we lost our impact, but I do see that some of the gaps are widening between the church and community, if I can say it like that. I was recently listening to, I think it was a hip-hop channel or something of the matter, and they were basically saying, you know, that the streets don't listen to the church anymore. And so what does that mean? Have we lost our impact? I believe that the gaps are widening between the community and the church, but there are gaps to be filled. So I believe that our mission of the church is to start identifying the gaps and start interceding in those gaps and be a place in those gaps. So, for example, of being a father to the fatherless. So our men can get out here, our church men can get out here and get to some of the young guys that's obviously fatherless and become mentors and father-like figures to those young men, because they are really longing out for something. And not only young men, but young ladies too that are fatherless and motherless. Just so we have a lot of gaps in our community that I believe that the church is empowered to fill. Pastor Ebony, you want to talk about that with me a little bit?
Yeah, I would say also that, you know, when we are in the, we have an adopted school program. So we're part of the D.C. public school system adopted school program, and we meet a lot of young people who have parents in jail or parents being raised by grandparents. And we see that many children, many of those elementary children and also young adults, millennials that we come in, have not had consistent father figures in their lives. And so I believe that the impact looks like bringing the village back. We need to bring the village back. The church was made to be a part of the local village. You know, the village, when I was growing up, anybody in your church could discipline you. You had the village of people who, if they saw you in the street walking from home and you didn't go straight home, they told your parent. You know, that was a part of the village. And I believe that the church is supposed to be a part of the village, those who provide, the, as Pastor Willie said, that some of those gaps that are in the community of, you know, fathers, the fatherless, or not having mature women to help the women, to help the young ladies and tell them how they should be living and how they should be dressing. So I believe that the church is not only to do that inside the church, but it's supposed to be a part of the village and the community.
Amen, amen. You know, I appreciate what you're saying, and I understand it. But let me share this, though. Let me ask this to you. I want to, in connection with what you were saying, well, how do you see that in that village aspect and that in being involved locally? I think I'm seeing a lot that churches are not – okay, let me say it like this. The churches, the buildings are in places where the congregation doesn't live. And I think that's our biggest gap. You know, people are a part of a church, and their building is one place, the campus or whatever you want to call it, but they live somewhere else. So they're not really connected locally. And I think that's some of the struggle, especially when you say that village mentality, because if I only see you once a week, you know, how much am I really involved? And then for the church to really organize, because that's what I like with what you're saying, with what you're doing down there at the Vision Impact Center is it's local. I understand. Well, I know Brother Willie's a D.C. guy, but D.C. person. Are you a D.C. original also?
Well, you know, the DMV, I could cross the street and be in D.C. So I grew up in Maryland, but very close to D.C.
Okay. So you're not from D.C. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Dignified. That's what I'm saying. I grew up in the state of Maryland. This is true.
The state of Maryland. Okay. Because D.C. is not a state. We are clear about that. It's not a state.
Yes,
and
it's
D.C.
a city.
Okay.
We are clear.
But let me just bring some clarity, though. Where Pastor Ebony grew up at and the school she went to was right down the street from the Deanwood Metro Station. And the Deanwood Metro Station is in the community that we are serving every Thursday or every other Thursday now. Yeah, so, I mean, so the communities are linked. And where we are having services at for Vision Impact Center, it's in a community that I grew up in, that I have a lot of historical knowledge about. So, you know, we are in the communities that has impacted us.
And I think it's also important to add, because I hear your point about not having a church in the community where you live. And Pastor Willie and I talked about that a lot. We talked about and prayed about that a lot when we knew that God was calling us to start a ministry. It's something that we talked about in great detail. And the truth is, you know, if you look at our community where we do live, there are lots of mega ministries in this area, and mega for this area, mega meaning, you know, hundreds of people go to those churches. And so I also believe that the church needs to be in a place where there is a need. And not to say that there is no need in our community, but most people are, you know, driving down the street to the, you know, megas. And so I believe that, you know, the church should also be in a place where there is a need. And becoming a part of a community, I think it would be great to live there. But I also think that having your church and finding a way for your church to meet the needs of that community is what's most important. And so I agree absolutely with what you're saying, Deacon Farr. But I also, just to add, that it's really important that your church is meeting the needs of what the community that they are in. And to me, that seems to be most important.
Okay, amen, amen, amen. I got you. So to be clear, you're from Prince George's County. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, absolutely.
All right. Okay. That's good. Okay. All right. Amen. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Pastor Willie and Ebony Stage from the Vision Impact Center in D.C., and they're just sharing about their ministry and some of the things they're doing. I just wanted to bring them on and interview them and talk to them about what they're doing down there, because I see they're doing a lot of work in reaching people, reaching the homeless. And Pastor Ebony, she just mentioned partnered with the Adopt a School program. I do want to come back to that, because I think that's one of those. I've heard of those the center's being done in other cities and other places, and to know someone is actually getting involved in the schools, I want to commend you for that, because I think it begins there. And again, the schools are that common gathering place where we can see, because again, our children can reflect a lot of the things that's going on in our community through their innocence and through what's going on. Because I remember even myself, back in the day going to school, I don't know if they still even do it, but there was free breakfast, lunch, and for some, that's the only meal they get, and that's a place where the public school was a place where we were all equal there, and needs were being met. And to see that the church is there being that positive influence, because again, when we talk about children in the community and the next generation, with the way the culture is today, they're influenced by so much that if the church doesn't actively and aggressively make themselves and what you call, I won't call it, but plant their flag and plant the cross and plant the word of God. There's a whole lot of things ready and willing and able to intercede and engage that next generation. So I just want to commend you on that. And we're going to come back to that later, because I'm going to, you took give me a little bit of history of how you got involved with that, to share with my audience. And they might want to get their church or their men's group or their men's ministry or whatever to be involved, because I think, again, the local public school is that anchor and that common ground that you can reach that. When we talk about reaching the community where the church is, that's the best way, that's the easiest and quickest way. And again, as for to be the body of Christ, we have to be example to the unbeliever, and they have to see the church doing more than what's sometimes portrayed in media, because, like I said, it's easy to preach, but it's hard to mentor and disciple. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to take a real quick break. I got a couple of announcements for some brothers I want to support. First, we have an upcoming stage play, an Alexander Butler production in Baltimore, Maryland, and it's a live stage play. It's Church Hurts and Those People Are Crazy, I Quit. It's a live stage play put on by Love Works in Baltimore, Maryland. It's going to be at the Goucher College on November the 4th at 7:30 p.m. You can go to www.love3works.org for tickets and information. It's www.love3works.org, or you can call 443-386-7360. And we're looking for that support there. The brother there has put on a couple of stage plays in the past, and their fundraisers, they're helping to support a ex-offender transition house and their local ministry. They do a shelter and a women's center, and they have a feeding program for one of the men's shelters in Baltimore. So we encourage you to reach out to them and help support that effort. Also, on Wednesday, November the 9th, 2016, from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., the 4th Annual Interfaith Domestic Violence Conference will be held by the Maryland Interfaith Domestic Violence Coalition, and that's going to be at the Judicial Institute of Maryland, 2001 Comets Park Drive, Annapolis, Maryland. And that's a conference, we talk about domestic violence in the faith community. There'll be representatives from all faiths and Christians and Muslims and Jews, Catholics, Protestants, and they're coming together for a training session and conference to be able to train to see some of the red flags of domestic violence, to connect for resources, and to be able to help those victims and also the perpetrators. It is programs specially designed for the perpetrators to help them get, you know, help, the help they need to deal with their anger issues or substance abuse issues or whatever issues are that cause domestic violence in the home, and also resources for children who have been exposed to domestic violence. So we encourage you to participate for that. You can find all the links for the information by going to Issues Christian Men Talk's Facebook page and the Maryland Network Against Domestic Violence. You can reach them at 301-429-3601 and get information about the upcoming conference on November the 9th, 2016. It's Wednesday, November the 9th, 2016. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Willie and Pastor Ebony, we'll come back to you now. Pastor Ebony, let me ask you this. You know, what is local missions? What are some of the things that you're doing there that you're planting the flag or the cross for Christ there in the D.C. area?
Yes, thank you for asking that. You know, I think that when people think of missions, they usually think of sending people abroad missions, sending people over to Africa or doing different types of things. And so we believe that the mission field begins at our own front door. So missions is not something that we just support or send others to do, but we believe that we should get in the mission field daily. So we have several churchwide opportunities each month, really, that serve the community. We believe that we are all missionaries sent to share the gospel and the love of Jesus. So we do that through feeding the homeless every month. When we first started, we did it a lot more frequent than that, and we would like to get back to that. We have been talking to a few different partners in the community. We believe that it's really important when you are doing local missions to partner with other churches and other groups. So in our feeding the homeless, we have partnered with different churches to have events, and this has allowed us to feed over 1,000 homeless so far, to provide toiletries, as Pastor Willie was saying, coats and clothes, shoes, purses, to the homeless, bags, luggage, to the homeless. So that's one of our main initiatives, is to feed the homeless. Also, as you talked about, our Adopt a School program is something that we do through DC Public School System. So last year, every Thursday, we would go there. And now this year, every other Thursday, we go there and talk to the children about character building. We talk to them really about kingdom principles that we, use practical language as Jesus did. We use practical language to tell them kingdom principles about how they should conduct themselves as young men and young women. And those are our main initiatives, is, you know, the children. Also, we do something called Table Talk, where after service on fourth Sundays, we sit down as a community and we have dinner together. And at dinner, we talk about emerging issues that's happening in the world. We talk about different subjects that millennials may be facing, adults may be facing. We've talked about different subjects that relates to their lives. And so that's something else that we do that we believe that helps with the mission of getting everyone to Jesus Christ. And I just say, you know, even about our homeless work, when we go out into the community, we share Jesus with them. So we're not just feeding, we're not just giving resources, but we're also giving them a opportunity to know Jesus, praying with them. And we've set up where we go out into the park. If they didn't come to us, we go to them. And each of our members has been taught what evangelism is and the importance of, treating the homeless as people, not as someone who is displaced or ignoring if, you know, someone smells a certain way. Those are not things that we're not rude to them. We want to give them the respect that they deserve. So that's what local missions is to us, is meeting the needs of those that are at our front door in our community.
Amen. You know, I'm sitting here listening, and And again, you know, I want to thank God for y'all for what you're doing, because of the things, you know, these are the things that we talk about a lot at Issues Fishermen's Talk, and some of the things we talk about in some of the men's groups. What we do, you know, I was recently in a discussion with some brothers about, you know, good works and doing all this, but yet, you know, I could feed people, I can clothe them, I can give them, I can take care of them their whole natural life, but if they still die and end up in hell, have I really done what God has put us on earth to do? Have I really impacted anything if they still end up separated from God at their time of death? So, you know, it's the good works, what are we doing? You know, and I like that, and I acknowledge you and thank you for what you said, that your people are trained to go out and minister that gospel and let them know that Christ is there for them. Because even though what we have in this temporal world, it really doesn't matter if we end up still separated from God at the time of our death and don't get to spend eternity with Him. Amen. So I just wanted to commend you on that. The one thing about the table talk, that's also something I wish I could make it to some of those, because I think what we do in the church also, when we talk about Christian worldview, when we look at what's going on and how do we look at it, do we rant and rave just as the culture does about their situations, or do we see it through what God teaches and His principles? And I think that's something that also, you know, for my audience who's listening, we have to consider when we come together, because, you know, I've been in, you know, conversations and groups where we're talking about the politics of the day, but, you know, none of it is a surprise to God, and I think we tend to forget that. We tend to think we have the answer for it all and that God, you know, is, you know, not involved with it. And if we have a real Christian worldview, I think when we come and talk to one another, because I know I've seen some brothers, you know, in Christ who they just, you know, their whole worldview is, to me, is skewed. Like, you don't understand who God is, and that none of this stuff is surprising to Him. So, again, that table talk and that sitting down talking about some real issues, I like that. I like it. I like it a lot. Amen. I might invite you to a men's group one day. Amen. Amen. But Pastor Willie, let me ask you this, sir. When we're talking about kingdom and the local mission and how important it is for those missions, it's just what do you feel there at the Vision Impact Center, the importance, how important it is for that local mission in the church? That, you know, what is your thoughts on that?
So important, the importance of local missions. So when Jesus called out His disciples, He called them first to serve the needs of their local community. And so it is important that we serve our local needs, because, you have to earn the right into people's lives, right? And so the way that we earn the right into their lives is that we earn the right through feeding them. And once we feed them physically, then they are open to us feeding them spiritually. Once they know that we are an advocate for them, they are more likely to hear the rest of the story, you know. So the importance of local missions in the church is to, you know, bring people into the knowledge of Christ, bring them to salvation. But we do that through our methods of how we impact them first. Did I answer the question correctly? I'm sorry if I'm kind of all over the place for a minute. I got so many thoughts going on.
Hey, man, bro, take your time. We got an hour, man. Take your time. But yeah. it's okay. It's all right. This is a conversation we have, because, you know, when we talked about what we want to do put it this way, bro, I understand, because God put stuff on our heart, and then we have to take it from our heart, we have to filter it. Now, how are we going to make this thing happen? You know, and I think back when God put a call on a man's life in Scripture, it didn't always come out right away. He had to sit down, he had to reason, he had to plan it out, and we have to shape and mold it and filter it to get it out there, because we have so much. But again, man, yeah. But I said, let me say this, bro. I encourage you because we have to take time because God that He gave it to us. You know, like Moses, how long did it take to build the tabernacle? And how long did it take to build the ark and chisel it out? You know, it took some time. You know, so it's okay. And it's the tabernacle. Yeah. It's even when they built the temple. You know, it took a couple of years for that temple, I think. You know, so it didn't happen like we just put up the framework, dropped some drywall on it, and put some paint on it, and then started worshiping God. It took a couple of years. So
absolutely, and you know, and like, and really, you know, as the visionary, you know, because when God gave me this vision, He put it in my heart to really touch the homeless. The word that He gave me was go out and make the home or help the homeless advance to a different level in their life. And I didn't know how to do it, but thank God for a great team. And I think that's what, you know, any organization or every organization or every church needs is that you need a great team that's with you. So even though, you know, I had this vision, it's the team like Pastor Ebony, Sister Tara, Tiana, and the host of other Vision Impact members that really help plan all of these things that we're talking about. They have, you know, put their minds together and came up with a way of how to fulfill vision. And I think that is so important. And I think that's how our church meets the mandate that God has put on us to fulfill these missions out, is that we have a great team that help cultivate the vision.
And I think that's so important because a lot of times what's happened is, you know, I've grew up in church all my life. You know, I heard you say that you didn't grow up in church all your life, but I grew up in church. I was born in church, and I have seen it modeled a lot of different ways, sometimes modeled as you have a person who is the charismatic person that is the pastor who, you know, kind of carries the weight of the vision. And I think it is so important, the model that we're trying to build is to build that team. You know, the Fivefold Ministry is a team of people. It's a team of people who are gifted to do their part. The Bible talks about each person doing their part, and that's how the body is, as we are connected, that's how we grow, that's how we are healthy. So I think it is really important, the point that Pastor Willie's making about the importance of having that team, that if we are to reach the world, impact the world, then we need people. We need people who are equipped by their pastors, equipped by the Fivefold to do the work of ministry. And so I think that's so important that each person feels a responsibility. Not, we don't have any quote-unquote pew warmers anymore, but everyone understands they have a responsibility in building the church and building the lives of people. And that is so important to me and Pastor Willie.
Amen. You know, I agree. You know, it's funny you say that because I've known brothers and leaders who said, you know, the people getting it's easier to do when people are connected with the passion and take ownership of the vision and take ownership of the ministry. I think that's what carries a team through in the valley times and through the mountaintop times, because, you know, it is, and again, it goes back to why are we doing what we do? Is it to glorify God, and are we all connected? Because, you know, you have touched on so many things. You touched on relationship and passion and team and having that common kingdom mindset. And I do believe, I want to commend you that and your team for what you're doing, because this is how it is. I've seen it work effectively where everyone is on the same page, and I think that when we're impacting, when we're really doing the work of God, there's a unity that's built amongst the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it really comes together, because I think about it when I read scripture, you know, when the church was under persecution, that was the greatest growth in the church, because they were focused on each other, caring for each other, looking out for each other. And I think I see it the same way when we have a common mission, when we want to accomplish a thing, that God has put all of our individuals' lives together to do this thing. We connect with one another, and also we're effective because folks see the unity within us because we're all moving in the same direction. And I think that what you're saying about your team, and you commended your team, and I think that's how we're really going to impact the world. Because, again, as unbelievers stand on the outside and look at the church, sometimes they can see, you know, the chaos. One pastor says one thing and believes another. And when we do, I mean, especially when we get into the cultural aspects and what's going on in media and what's going on in politics, I think that dilutes the gospel. You know, that's only my personal thing. I'm just a guy. But when we start to engage ourselves too much in what's going on in this world, in this temporal realm, you know, and then that dilutes our true message of the truth of Jesus Christ and the gospel. No matter if it goes our way, because again, I'll use politics right now, but when politics goes our way, we praise God. When politics goes the other way, it's the enemy, it's the devil, it's judgment on the United States, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'm going to come on back because we're going to go back talking about Vision Impact Center. Right? That's just my two cents. I could go on off too sometime, Brother Willie. You know, Amen. Amen. You listen to Deacon Thomas Farr. It is an Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here with special guests, Pastor Willie and Ebony Spade from the Vision Impact Center in Washington, D.C. And they're just sharing with their, we're talking to them about their ministry and what they're doing in D.C. and some of the things that they're accomplishing. I just wanted to bring them on and let them share with the community and encourage folk. Let's go to that part. Pastor Ebony, let us know how we can reach you, how folk can reach you, contact you, help. You say you connect with others and partner with others to do the work God's called you to do. Let folk know how they can reach out to you and how they can help.
Yes, so we have one of our most active places where we are is social media. Facebook. We have a Facebook page, My Vision Community. And on My Vision Community, we share all of our events that we do in the community, and the opportunities to volunteer are there. We have a upcoming homeless breakfast and blessings with the homeless that's coming up on November 12th, and we also have Holidays with the Homeless coming up on December 17th, and those are two opportunities where you can get involved with giving donations. We will be receiving donations for food, also tangible donations like toiletries, socks, and coats for December, hats, gloves, all of those things the homeless are in need of, and we need your help. Especially with December, we're doing a sit-down dinner with the homeless in the cold. Bring your coats. We want to sit down and eat with them and talk with them. A lot of it is not just feeding them, but also helping them to feel a part of society again. So we sit down, we're going to sit down, talk with them, and serve them dinner. So My Vision Community, the Facebook page, our Facebook page, is one way you can get in contact with us. You can also get in contact with us on our website, and that is myvisioncommunity.org. We also have an email address, info@myvisioncommunity.org. You can email us there. You can also call us at 202-768-9875. We meet every Sunday at 1 p.m. at the Stewart Center. That's 821 Barnum Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C. And we meet every Wednesday at 7:15 for Bible study. So that's our current. And Pastor Willie?
Oh, no. I believe you covered it all.
Excellent.
Amen.
So that's how you can get in touch with us. Yes.
Amen. Amen. And let me, I just want to say this because, you know, this is the season, and it's the season when a lot of people are stirred up because of the weather and the holidays, but we do encourage you. And let me share this because you said you needed some things for my audience who's listening. It's easy. It's easy. Okay. Let me be practical here. we all go shop in Rose's, we shop in Dollar Store, we shop in, you know, Walmart, whatever. All you have to do is pick up one thing extra when you're in there. When your check day comes and you're in the store, just, you know, some socks, a hat, something like that. And then reach out to Pastor Willie and Pastor Ebony and get it to them. That's all it takes, just buy a hat. And then, remember, there's always a clearance section, clearance. So if you get a nice hat out the clearance section, that can bless somebody who don't have a hat. I know because, you know, it is different when we buy our stuff for ourselves. It got to match our shoes and our shirt and our tie and then your coat because we can't wear a brown hat with a black coat, whatever. The opportunity to give for those who don't have, remember, you know, it's when we're talking about the homeless or those who don't have, they don't have what is going to be needed. And, you know, if anybody's been in this area, they know how the winters are. These people don't necessarily, and let me share this, something, you know, from my own experience, all the homeless don't make it into the shelters in the winter. And even if they do make it to the shelters, during the daylight hours, there's no place for them to be. You have to understand that.
Right.
You know, when it's not cold blue, just imagine that where they are. You know, so, again, these opportunities, us, the compassion, the things we want to do to help the least of these, as the Word of God teaches, just buy an extra hat, buy a couple extra hats, some gloves. You know, if you start now, then the Impact Division Center will have the resources when it's time to distribute it. Don't wait until a week before. Oh, yeah, I was going to help them out, but my check-in, you know, and then I got to pay the light and the BG&E bill. Okay, let's do it now while it's 60 degrees. Buy a hat, buy something, and just be able to, you know, help out when the call is out there. Because when in the wintertime, you know, that's when we need real Christian soldiers. It's easy to go out when the summer, when it's nice out. But when the winter comes, I don't know, in D.C., but really, y'all call it the hawk in D.C. when the wind starts blowing?
Yes, the hawk is out.
So, all right, so that's when we need soldiers. That's when we need to show our Christianity when it ain't nice out there and we're trying to minister. And the biggest thing I just want to compliment both of you on is that your team knows how to minister and knows how to speak and shed loving kindness when they go out and speak to the folk. Because some folk go out there with an attitude that somehow the homeless are less than and they should be appreciated that I gave my time. Those are Christians I just want to, you know, push into the, you know, off the, in the, you know, that's just me. But anyway, amen.
You know, but if I can answer it here, I would like to say,
yes.
You know, that you know, even when you meet a homeless individual, when you meet anybody that's when you meet any individual, you never know their state. And we have met many people that were homeless that you could never tell was homeless. So the face of homelessness doesn't always look like, you know, a panhandler on the corner of a street. It looks like a working young man or working young woman. And we have to realize, and what I've come to realize in my prejudgment state was that many people that's out on the street, there are a lot of mental health issues out there that's causing a state of homelessness. There are family issues that have pushed people into homelessness. And so there are varying issues. And so if you can just, you know, give a loving word, a hello, a hi. Many people, or many of the homeless, aside from what we give them as far as food, what they really enjoy most is a conversation. And just a listening ear sometimes is enough.
Amen, amen. You know, and one thing I did want to share, if someone has heeded our call and our call to help, how can they get these resources to you? What's the easiest way to reach out to you? If I got a couple of hats or something I want to get to you, what's the easiest way our audience can reach?
Yes, again, call our number, 202-768-9875, 202-768-9875, and that will get you in contact with me, Pastor Willie, and we will set up a drop-off or some kind of location where we could transfer goods.
Also, if you are joining us in church on Sundays at 1 or on Wednesdays at 7:15, you can bring donations with you at that time as well.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, I'm going to come back to you real quick, and I just want to get your closing statements that you want to share with the audience. After this, again, I want to remind folk of the upcoming event for the Maryland Interfaith Domestic Violence Coalition on Wednesday, November the 9th, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. in Annapolis, Maryland. This is something that one of our issues, social issues, that at Issues Christian Men's Talk that we're very, very involved in and have a passion for, because domestic violence and interpartner violence is one of those things that plague us. It plagues the community. It crosses socioeconomic lines. It crosses race, culture, ethnicity, and the abuse of women, children, and men, and the violence in homes is one of the things that really, it's a real problem. And a lot of it is secretive. It's one of the things that I personally learned myself going to some of the training seminars and discussion groups is, you know, there's a lot of men who are abused by the women in their lives, but because of who we are as brothers, we don't want to tell nobody, you know, we don't reach out for help. And, you know, it's that, oh, is it something, you know, I remember back in the day, some of us of a certain age remember, it was the old thing, you know, who was it? Al Green. Is one of his girlfriends threw grits on him or something like crazy like that. That's violence. It was a joke. We laughed about it. We even seen it in some of our media and movies, and we see that. But again, that is a reaction of violence in our homes and our relationships. And one of the things that also, when we talk about domestic violence in the body of Christ, is these things happen. These things happen at home. They happen at the church. And one of the things when we talk about it in the faith, Domestic Violence Coalition, is do churches have a plan? Do they have a plan when this comes to the forefront, when it happens? If you have a member, if you have a provisioner, or even if you have someone who comes off the street and says they're a victim of domestic violence, does our church have a policy and procedure in place to handle it? You know, we talk about praying for folk, but do we have a safe place? Do we have all be connected with resources that can get them to a place, a safe house of roof or another safe place, or the resources to help them through the process? Do we seek them with professional counseling and all those things that help? Because we can't necessarily, we don't want to be the church that sends someone back into a circumstance and a situation where they end up in the hospital or dead, or then the police are involved when we knew about it and we did nothing. Just like our churches have a plan for to evacuate the building if it catches on fire, we have a plan to collect the tithes and offerings if the church is snowed out. You can call online. We have a plan for everything else, but do we have a plan to handle domestic violence when it happens in the homes? And also, one of the other things I want to share about that is, are we teaching this generation? Again, we have folk who come from homes who've lived in domestic violence, so that's all. They think that's the way it is. If my daddy slapped my mama and it was okay, so my girlfriend, she says something to me I don't like, I can smack her and it's cool because I got to keep her straight. Or if I was raised in a home and my mother was abusive to my father or all her boyfriends, that's how I'm going to treat all my boyfriends. That's just me. I'm just saying. I'll let that sink in a minute. Amen. But anyway. Mm-hmm. Man, the Maryland Interfaith Domestic Violence Coalition, Wednesday, November the 9th, from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. You can reach out to them by calling 301-429-3601. Well, Pastor Willie, Pastor Ebony, I'll start with you, Pastor Ebony, and then go to your husband. Any closing comments or thoughts as we get ready to wrap up?
Yeah, I guess I just end with saying that don't forget that God has placed you in your community for a purpose. And if you are a part of a local church, don't wait to go abroad, but remember that you have people around you that are poor, that are lonely, that are forgotten, and that need refuge. Get involved locally. And I think that is, you know, something that we really believe, get involved locally. And if you are looking for opportunities to get involved locally, come visit us at Vision Impact Center, but also get equipped as a member of a church, or if you don't belong to a church, get involved and get equipped so that you can do the work of ministry. So that would be my, so that you can be Jesus' hands and feet to someone who is in need.
Amen. I'll say, I'll say, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And at one point in time, we were a part of the harvest that we had, that a laborer had to come pick us up out of the field. And so, but now we have transferred from harvest to the laborer. And now it's time for us to go and get the harvest. So my closing remarks are, you know, be a laborer, but be a laborer that's equipped with the word of God, not just your own knowledge. So be a laborer that's equipped with the word of God, so you could get the harvest, and so they can start their progress from being the harvest to the laborer. Please come visit us. Please come join us at the Vision Impact Center every Sunday at 1 p.m. Located 821 Barnum Street Northeast. Please give us a call at 202-768-9875. I'll be so happy to have you. You can also join us online. We go live many of the Sundays, or we go live, especially Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights Bible study have been off the chain. So please check out our Facebook site at My Vision Community. I think you will enjoy our teaching and what God is sharing through us. I believe that, you know, God is impacting our communities, and I know that He is using kingdom believers to do so. So, like I said, Deacon Farr, thank you so much for having us on your show this morning. I really appreciate it. Thank you for thinking about us and taking the time out of your schedule to organize this session this morning.
Amen, amen. I appreciate both of you, what you're doing, and you know, praise God. You know, and again, you know, circumstances of life brought us, our lives to intersect and divide and meet and connect. And, you know, it's a lot of things happened that ended up us where we were, and to meet y'all and to be able to ministry and connect. So, you know, God is in control. Because who knew a brother from South Bronx would hook up with a brother from D.C. and actually get along and be able to talk to each other. But, you know, that's a miracle of God right there. Amen.
But that's power. That's power.
Yeah, that's power. That's power. That's power. And then, you know, and then you marry somebody from PG County. I mean, come on. Life is good. You know, God is a wonderful God.
Amen.
Amen. But I do appreciate y'all, and thank you for joining us. To my audience, continue to listen to us. We are, you can go to blacktalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. We also are live every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m., and also if you go to our Facebook page, you can connect there with us there. Also, if you go to the website, if you look on the left-hand side and click follow, you'll get updates and connections when we have new shows and new downloaded shows, and keep track of what we're doing. And all our shows in the past year are archived there, so we encourage you to join us there. Pastors, thank you so much, and God bless, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You do the same.
Thank you. You too.
Hello, Jesus. Jesus, children. Jesus loves you. Jesus, children. Hello, children. Jesus loves you, of America. Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you feeling?